lot of people have potential, but you know, not everybody has the work ethic. So does the work ethic match all that? And are they as invested? Do they want it the way I want it? Because that's another thing. Some people, they won't take it a step further to figure out when, you know, things get tough.
Hey, what's going on? Welcome to the McCove Mindset Podcast. Today we're going to sit down with my friend DJ Navi Davi. He's done everything. He's won Grammys. He's won Emmys. He's worked with Travis Scott. He's worked with Bad Bunny. He's the UFC DJ. This guy has done all types of things in the music industry, from brand deals to building his own studio. I'm really looking forward to this conversation in which we can really dive into how to become a full-time entrepreneur in the arts. As always, if you like what you're hearing, hit like, hit subscribe, leave a comment, and let me know what you think. Let's get to it. Thank you for coming on to the podcast, bro. Seriously, I appreciate you being here. Navi Davi. You know, why don't you let everybody know like who you are and what you've done?
I'm a producer, songwriter, an international DJ. And I started out as a musician playing piano professionally, you know, around the world, touring, doing that. Started out in church, learned how to play a lot of instruments in between. Did that for about 7 years. Started producing and songwriting when I was 24. Been doing that for the last 8 years, so 32 right now. Along the way, I've helped break quite a bit of artists like Travis Green, and it's a big part of, you know, Molly Music's career as well, and Ty Dolla $ign, as well as Bad Bunny, and you know, a bunch of other people, you know. So won some Grammys, won some Emmys,
you know, did some things.
Yeah. Worked on some TV shows like Billions, Big Bang Theory, a lot of TV shows like that, Succession currently, a lot of HBO and Showtime, as well as, you know, all the other networks. But that's kind of where I got my start, was in TV and HBO and Showtime. And then from there, you know, it's been a whirlwind,
right,
to say the least.
When you say you got your start like with TV and stuff, where, what was like your first, what was your first placement?
My first placement was on Operation Rebo. So it was reality TV.
They taking your car.
Yeah, it was the lady in Miami. She was like going around, you know, getting into fist fights with the, you know, people and all that stuff. But yeah, I did a lot of cues for them. And then also, you know, which is Segway music and all that stuff for the people that don't know. And then I also did the theme song at one point when they wanted the theme song remade.
That's what's up.
And so those are the first ones.
Is that what really opened you up to being able to, you know, move on to HBO and stuff? Because Billions is a dope ass show.
Yeah, it didn't initially, because the you know, I knew nothing about the TV space. I kind of fell in it by luck. A friend of mine that she used to be in management was actually working at the network, and she was an assistant to the you know, head of acquisitions where they do green lighting and stuff. And she's the one who connected me with, you know, the music supervisor over there. And just so it didn't carry over directly, but it definitely did help to be able to get to those other things, because it gave a reference of like, okay, he understands formatted TV and stuff like that. But what really got me to Billions was I had a buddy of mine who at the time was going to underneath the name Eskimo, which is like his moniker. He was like a DJ that also did electronic music. And he kind of like fused electronics and orchestral together. And he would do like a lot of stuff like that. And he was the person who I knew that was a composer on Billions. And, you know, we had spoke and I was like, man, I'd love to submit something. Cause he told me about the show, but it wasn't on the air just yet, you know? So we spoke about it and he was like, man, you know, I need some like Kanye West sound and stuff and that kind of thing. So I was like, let me submit some stuff over. So he gave me the music supervisor's information, and so goes the story.
That's what's up, man. So like for, yeah, you know, I mean, obviously, because sync is like the buzzword right now, post 2020, you know, post 2020, mm-hmm, sync is the buzzword. What, yeah, like a quick 1, 2, 3. What are like the top 3 things that you think people need to know about sync? And don't give me like the standard answers of like, you gotta have your metadata in order, and you know, you gotta make sure that you have the separated files, you know, like give me the real stuff.
Yeah, absolutely. So the way for somebody to if you mean from zero, like starting fresh from zero?
Like if you were interested in it, you've heard about it, but you were just like, I don't even know how to get into that.
Yeah. So the way I would do it is the first thing I would recommend is to like consistently build catalog, you know, in terms of, you know, of course, there's all the details of files and all that. But in terms of actually building catalog, like having the habit of saying, I'm going to take a very like calculated approach in terms of being able to say, here's, you know, point one, two, and three. Meaning for me, when I thought about it back then, you know, EDM and like epic style music was like a big forefront. And it still is till today, but not, you know, there's a lot of other genres they're taking on these days too. But at that time I approached it like, if I'm making a Dell style ballad, I can take this a cappella and now make it an EDM record. So I can have kind of like do five records, but get 10 out of the five so that, you know, once I have those five, and I set my bar low, you know, I set it to like one, five songs per quarter, you know, cause I was still, you know, working with artists and stuff. So I feel that, you know, catalog is one thing, just having like an advantage approach, cause usually they don't want to wait, you know, they're like, hey, you know, we got 12 hours a day, or, you know, if you're lucky, they'll give you a couple of days, but usually it's like 4 to 12 hours, you know, so small windows, and, you know, you just need readily available music. It's hard to create that successfully and feel good about it. Like all of us who have doubts on the mix and all that stuff. So to me, catalog is one. Number two would be the network of it all, which one, there's two initial, you know, places that I would say go, which is IMDb Pro, which, you know, the, you know, IMDb regular is like the 30,000 square foot view of like, you know, you're in the rafters looking at the industry, versus IMDb Pro subscription, like 10 or 15 bucks a month. And essentially gives you a lot of agents and different people's information. And the third thing would be is don't spam them, because, you know, they're just not going to want to read your emails. But I would say to go a little bit deeper into that is just, you know, making sure that, you know, from a, you know, from that standpoint, you actually know their work, you know what they do, you know the things that they want to say, and you're like well-educated in the sense of you can let them know, hey, I'm have the ability to clear this. The paperwork's already done. Everything's already clear. I have, you know, the kind of music that you generally use on your TV shows and like that, or films. And then from that standpoint, you can build a rapport, and they won't probably answer back in the first 3 months because they're not allowed to. Generally, they have like a, you know, a non-soliciting clause in their contracts for different shows they're doing. So they'll get to know you, and then they'll bring you on their next project. But those are the three things I would say. Yeah. And not to break up the monotony of this, but I actually have a question for you.
Yeah.
How did you get started in sync? I'm curious everybody's situation.
Yeah, you know, for me it was my guy Ryan. So my partner Ryan Knock, he runs Knock It Out Music, who you got to chat with. Like we started working together when I was young. Like I was still in college, and when like I was doing the performer route and, you know, doing all of that stuff and still recording music, and he was producing a lot of my tracks. He was producing for other people too. He's out of New York, and he was pretty much just like, yo, this isn't gonna work trying to get rappers to pay me. Like, this is not gonna work. And he decided that he wanted to make the leap into being a producer full time. And he knew some people who were in music for television and advertising, and was just like, hey, I think that this is like a space to go into, to look into. And since he had produced so much stuff for me, he produced like virtually all of my work, you know, just off of the strength, when he needed to build his catalog and he wanted song, I was just like, oh, I'll write to anything. And so that's really how it kind of got started. I started to see briefs due to him trying to get into the space and then getting requests. And so that just through like the repetitions kind of developed my process for like, okay, this is what sync writing is. This is how it works. This is like how I should read these things and what they kind of mean. You know, we were learning it at the same time. So I think it was, for me, it was really good too, to have somebody to just kind of converse with and bounce ideas off of. You also have like a kind of like somebody whose opinion that you really value, who's going to keep it straight with you and be like, and that's not really that good, or like, that hook's not, maybe you want to re-sing that, or, you know, and like, so you really start to develop like a craft for it. And so for me, yeah, that's really how I got started into it. You know, it was about 2016, I think, when we really started to like do some stuff that was like getting placed and whatnot. And I was just like, yeah, this is cool. Like, it was cool. It didn't really hit me until about 2018. 2018, I moved to Baltimore and had kind of mentally made the decision that I wanted to stop performing out as much. Like, okay, I think I want to stop performing out as much, and I want to really like work on my pen. I want to get better at writing. And strangely enough, I got plugged in with this company called Jumping Giant, which specialized in like kids programming. And wrote some songs for this thing called Alpha Friends, and, you know, did some letters and whatnot. And it was like animation that just ended up with it later. And when I saw what it can become, you know, like when I saw what Sync can do, I was like, oh, this is definitely where I should probably focus a bit more of my attention. And then by 2020, you know what happened. You know, 2020, everybody was in, and the Sync space kind of exploded. And fortunately, you know, we were kind of already in that space, you know, like we were already in there, and Ryan had done a terrific job of kind of positioning himself and his company in like a really great place. So yeah, that's really how I got started in it.
Man, that's dope. So I got a question. Was there any different approach that you took during the pandemic?
All right. So like kind of maybe sort of.
Because you know, like, it's like you're already in, so you have like a process, but was there like somewhat of any pivots or any small increments?
Well, you know, for me, honestly, the pandemic really psychologically affected me. So for like, I was kind of in a creative rut, you know, like, cause I'm more of an extrovert. So I get a lot of energy. I get kind of charged up by being around people and having conversation and stuff. And that wasn't happening. Yeah. Like, none of that was happening. So it's like no new ideas, no new experiences. It's just like the same day on repeat. And I think creatively it was killing me. And fortunately, I guess it was around April, Ryan and I had worked on this song called Saving Us, which was kind of, it was like a tribute song to frontline workers. And we ended up working with another artist, John Thomas, which I ended up finding out later when we were on the phone that he used to be in this band called Lipstick Gypsy. And I was a fan of that band. Like, I was like, yo, you're the guy from Lipstick Gypsy. Like, I saw you on Good Morning America. I literally did. Like, years prior, I saw this guy on Good Morning America and immediately started following their music because he killed it.
Yeah.
It turned out that he ended up working with us on this song. He was a vocalist, and I did background vocals. And the song kind of gave a little lift of new life, even in the Sync space, because we ended up getting linked up with this gentleman, David Abelson. He worked for ABC 2020. And so the song itself got to be featured in this thing that they were doing called Corona Hustle. It was like the theme song for that. And, you know, we had like a little viral campaign, People Magazine, you know, like did a story on it and stuff. And it's that like gave me the little spark that said like, okay, you know, get back into writing, get back into doing some stuff. And about top of 2021, which was like kind of like that weird period where everybody was kind of like, are we out of the pandemic? Are we in the pandemic? Like, what are we doing? Are we outside? Are we inside? So we're like in that weird flux, and opportunities started to like really roll in. You know, even during the pandemic in 2020, during that summer, I don't know if you remember or if it was like this where you were, But there was like a month where it was like, pandemic's over, you can go outside. It was in the summer. And then it was like, never mind, we lied. That's not what happened. And I opened I did a show opening for Jimmy Allen, big country artist. And I think he won CMA Country Artist of the Year. And so that also gave me like a little bit of like a rejuvenation. I was like, okay, cool. I'm still in this. This is still a thing. And by the time all the other streaming platforms came out, Paramount Plus and HBO Max and Discover Plus, and you know, while everybody entered the streaming space, and that was so much program, I felt like there was a hiatus, like there was nothing for a little bit. And then it was like a levee broke and it was just a flood. And yeah, I think that we were just positioned very nicely to do well after that.
Yeah. No, yeah, it was a different time.
That's what's up. As you saw me crack the joy burst, you know, because right? this podcast is sponsored by Joy Burst, you know, the energy drink.
Absolutely.
And it's really the Joy Burst talent competition, which could be open to DJs, you know, because essentially what it is that you enter the competition, the Joy Burst talent search, you get an opportunity to win 10,000 cash, a song publishing deal. And there are some sync opportunities that are tied to that as well. And so if you go online, go to joyburst.com, you can check the talent search, do your submission via TikTok or Instagram, and enter for your chance to win. It kind of makes me think about the conversation that you and I had about your studio. And you were explaining to me, like, in your studio, how you have some sponsorships with some alcohol companies and stuff. So like, you know, indie artists are always looking for ways to do things. You know, I know I've spoken about this, like how I got a sponsor for this podcast and stuff. How did you go about getting sponsorship opportunities for like your recording space and different stuff?
Yeah. So that was an education in the Atlanta area, you know? So in Atlanta, you go to like Stankonia and you see, you know, major corporations that, you know, it's like they got this giant bar of just, you know, two stories of like, you know, all these different alcohol corporations. And some of them were, you know, vehicle corporations, some of them are, you know, a lot of that. And what I was finding out was a lot of those studios were actually, they were building them and fronting the money. And one of the ways they were getting their money back was by allowing for those corporations to essentially come in and sponsor them, and in trade they would be able to do events and all that stuff like that. And you know, timing is a big piece of that one, and where a lot of them capitalizes on sporting events, you know, because you know, naturally there's always going to be different sporting events in major markets, which Atlanta, you know, they have a sizable set of teams that exist there between the Falcons and the Atlanta Hawks and stuff like that. So naturally I saw how those guys were moving, and they were really getting a lot of those big ones like, hey, you know, Super Bowl's coming, we'll go ahead and, you know, let you guys sponsor this. And in turn, you could do your after party here at the facility, you know? So that was something that kind of intrigued my interest, because I was like, man, you know, these guys are investing 300 grand and 2 and 3x in on their endorsement deals, you know, over the years, you know, they would just, you know, they didn't necessarily have to just make money on being a studio owner or renting studio time or any of that stuff or renting out equipment, you know, naturally as studios do. So from that standpoint, they were like, just all of them, every single one of them, you're like, this is this cognac, or this is this vodka, or this, you know, tequila, or this, you know, you're like, or this vehicle, you know, company, you know, and stuff like that, you know. So you're like, and some American, some overseas and all that stuff. But ultimately they were getting all these companies where you could naturally see like, this is a business for them. And they were constantly, and it just widened their network, you know, constantly having energy, you know, energy drink companies like, you know, Joy Burst, you know, where they come in and naturally, you know, they have a setup and they can constantly, you know, have events there and stuff like that when they're in the city. So me, I got into it
The caffeine on this, because it's like caffeine that's from a natural source. It's from green tea extract. So it's more of like a slow rise caffeine. Like,
nice.
Let's say vitamins. You know, like some vitamins or medicines are like time released.
Yeah, yeah.
And so it's like, okay, this gets you along. And then some are just like right here, right now. And that's why it really kind of matters what you're looking for, because the vibe that I get from Joy Burst is that it's more of like the longer extended release type of caffeine hit than like the immediate like whoosh, rush.
Yeah. No, that's dope. And I think that that's important. Is it a healthier option in terms of...
Yeah, it's got zeros down everything pretty much. But yeah, it's no sugar, no aspartame, no Ace K. All natural caffeine, zero calories, all that good stuff. Yeah, 200 milligrams of caffeine from green tea extract per can. Yeah.
That's dope.
That's a lot of caffeine, though. 200 milligrams is heavy.
Yeah, but, you know, with everything else, you know, not being there, it probably balances, you know?
Yeah. Word. That's beautiful. That's sage advice. Bro, I want to thank you for coming on to the podcast, for spending some time, you know, and lending your insight into the industry.
That's beautiful.
I hope that, you know, people value it. Is there any place where they can get in contact with you? Your Instagram, your YouTube, like
My Instagram has all my contact information. Usually I have a, you know, like a hyperlink, like Linktree, that kind of thing, and it'll just have like, you know, email, website, all that stuff, you know, so usually that's the easiest way to get in contact with me.
Well, bro, like I said, I appreciate you coming on. Thank you so much.
Oh, absolutely.